JB turned the blaster over in his hand in amazement.
I've never seen anything like it.
It fires balls filled with colored water.
The Baron handed a second identical blaster to Ryan.
The balls come in two pieces and break open on impact, leaving a colored stain on the target.
Ryan lifted the blaster in his hand like a dead weight.
Huh. It's heavier than I thought it would be.
That's the ammo. Since it's mostly water, a loaded blaster can get a bit heavy.
An overweight blaster that doesn't chill? What good are these things?
We found them very useful. As you can imagine, it can be expensive and dangerous to train SecMen with real ammo, but these rounds can be reused. We just clean them up, fill them up, and press them together again.
Ryan pointed the blaster at a mark on the wall of the small room next to the arena. There were all sorts of colored marks on the walls where others had tested their blasters. Ryan squeezed the trigger of the blaster. A glistening splash of blue was now on the wall, in line with the blaster's muzzle.
It's powered by compressed air. Originally, they had to be loaded with carbon dioxide cartridges, but we figured out a way to rig them to work with simple compressed air.
The Baron was obviously proud of the technical prowess he'd shown in keeping the blasters operational. Ryan could only think he had to be very well armed and secure in his position to devote such time and energy to worthless, non-lethal blasters. JB held up his blaster, squeezed off several rounds, and the wall came alive with bursts of red, green, and yellow.
Excellent. Obviously, you know how to handle blasters of different types. I'm sure you'll give my SecMen a good test.
JB put down the non-lethal blaster.
You said we'd be getting ammo.
I can see why you're the weapons expert. Blasters and ammo must always be on your mind.
The Baron led them into another room, which was stocked floor to ceiling with ammunition and a few lesser quality remade blasters that had at one time been Colts and Smith & Wesson's.
Impressive.
If the Baron's Sec Force lacked any fighting skills, they'd be able to more than make up for it in firepower. There were an assortment of ammo boxes like the ones they'd seen dozens of times in the redoubts, only these were devoid of the plastic wrap and wax that usually preserved the contents against the elements. They also looked scuffed up, as if they'd been emptied and refilled several times over the years. The boxes were labeled with crude but clearly legible black letters, denoting boxes of .357, .44, and .38 caliber rounds. There were also boxes of 9mm rounds, both regular and parabellum. There were even a few ammo belts for 50 caliber machine blasters. Although Ryan hadn't seen such a big blaster in the Ville yet, he had no trouble believing the Baron had one stored somewhere safe.
We found an old military installation not far from here.
Ryan and JB looked at each other, but said nothing as the Baron continued.
It was stocked with many useful items, burners and hoses, beakers and large glass bottles. I took everything that wasn't nailed down, and a lot of it turned out to be useful in the creation of my medicines and drugs.
JB examined a very well-crafted remade blaster.
Did you find all of these weapons there, too?
No. There were a few broken blasters, some ammo that we couldn't use, and a bunch of other supplies. But it looked to us as if someone else had already been through the place, taking the most useful and valuable blasters and leaving behind whatever they didn't need or couldn't use. I suspect they had to leave in a hurry, judging by the condition of the inside of the place. Several firefights damaged a lot of items I probably could have made use of.
Ryan wondered if the traitor had been through the redoubt before he and JB had joined up with him. And if not the traitor, then someone else. That would explain the condition of the redoubt and why the Matran's chamber was damaged on the outside, but not the inside. Luckily for them, it was in good enough condition for one last jump.
So, what will you need?
JB recited a list of ammo used by each member of the group. When he came to Doc's Lama, he faltered.
And Doc will need, well...
Yes?
His blaster is old, ancient, really. He'll need a supply of bulk gunpowder, cotton wadding, and lead.
The Baron simply nodded.
Copper primer nipples would be helpful, too.
My chemists can take care of that, and I have people who can manufacture just about anything, given the proper specs. We have a supply of pre-dark pennies, which I imagine could be remade into excellent primer nipples. If your man Doc provides the proper instructions, then we can make them for him.
JB just shook his head.
Something wrong?
I keep thinking the old man is a crazy fool for hanging on to that museum piece. But as odd a blaster as it is, he's never been short of ammo for it.
It has character, like the man.
He's a character, all right.
When will we get the ammo we need?
Arms are always on your mind, aren't they? You'd make a good sec man, you know that?
It was obvious the Baron was trying to ignore JB's question.
Yes, you've told me that already. We'd like to have the ammo ready and where we can see it before we play your little game.
The Baron smiled yet again, but it was an empty smile holding no promise.
I'll see what I can do.
JB didn't press the point.
Shall we rejoin the others?
The Baron led them out of the armory. Baroness Lashini was sitting at her dinner table, the remains of her meal in front of her. Several shiny white bones were scattered about the plate, stripped clean of every last scrap of meat. Spike had seen plenty of animal bones before, but he didn't recognize any of them. They looked almost human, and reminded him of the condition they often found the muties to be in, living on the outskirts of the Ville. The only difference was the muties had some skin to go along with their bones, albeit gray skin.
Well, did you find what you were looking for in the library?
I did indeed, Baroness.
And?
It is him.
Lashini's mouth dropped open.
Most of his crew is different now, and he wasn't the leader of the group back at Spearpoint, but the journal talks of a one-eyed man named Ryan, and that's the Outland scum's name.
And he killed my boy?
Yes, Baroness. The journal is very specific on that point.
Baroness Lashini let out a long sigh. For a moment, it looked as if she might shed a tear, but none came.
Thank you for letting me know you found the Outland bastard.
Then, if you'll excuse me, Baroness, I must be getting back. Sec Chief Robards wanted me to return as soon as I could. If I leave now, I could be back before morning.
Sec Lieutenant Spike, do I look like a fool to you?
The messenger was unsure of what had just happened. He decided he needed to answer the question with a lie, since the Baroness looked to be somewhat unstable at the moment.
No, Baroness, not at all.
Do you think I became the Baroness of Indyville by letting things slide, by shrugging things off, by turning the other red-blasted cheek?
Baroness Lashini was one of the most ruthless barons for hundreds of miles in every direction. She'd been known to cut her enemies to pieces, instructing her librarians to remove pieces of their bodies just to see how much pain and mutilation they could endure before they expired. One man, caught holding back some of the Baroness's jack, had lived for a week until he'd managed to snatch a blaster from a sec man and shoot himself in the head to end his misery.
No, Baroness, I don't think that at all.
So, if you have the man who killed my boy, don't you think I'd want to be there to see him die?
Oh, of course, Baroness.
The messenger was doing his best to be humble, knowing it would probably save his life.
I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking.
The Baroness got up from the table, walked over to the messenger, and moved slowly around him, sizing him up. When she stopped, she was standing directly in front of him, a hand on her holstered blaster. The messenger trembled slightly.
No, you didn't think.
And then her right hand came up and struck the messenger in the face. Two of his teeth were knocked loose, and his lip cracked open. The split in his mouth glistened scarlet. Lashini was smiling now, as if feeling better.
That's all right, though. I like sec men who don't think.
She turned to one of her own security men.
Give him a room, something to eat, and a woman for the night if he wants one.
But Baron Demand...
This isn't Baron Demand's territory. You're in Indyville right now.
Yes, Baroness.
Well, I'll leave in the morning. You, me, and my sec force. I'm sure Baron Demand and Sec Chief Robards are quite capable of chilling the Outlander. But I want to be there when it happens. I want to feel the scum squirm under my fingers as I strangle the life out of him. I want him to tell me he's sorry. I want him to beg me for his life, and then I want to chill him as painfully as possible.
I'm sure Baron Demand will be happy to have your assistance.
Spike did his best to sound sincere, but it didn't help.
Oh, bullshit. Demand is going to be pissed off when he hears I'm in his Ville, but he'll have to let me in. I have a family death to avenge, just as he does.
The messenger was speechless, not daring to say another word.
Take him away and give him whatever he wants. I like him. He's a good boy.
The Baroness's sec man led Spike away. He seemed relieved to be out of her presence. He was already asking if there were different women for him to choose from. When he was gone and out of earshot, Baroness Lashini called over her sec chief Viviani.
Yes, Baroness.
Gather 12 sec men for the morning. They'll ride with me. The rest of your force will leave half an hour later.
The purpose, Baroness?
I've wanted to take out the man for years. This thing with the Outlander is just the excuse I need to get inside his vill, and once I'm in, I'll open it up for your force so we can take him from inside.
Very good, Baroness.
It's better than good. The grieving mother seeking justice, it's perfect.